Hello and welcome into Slow Burn. What is this, episode 6?
It sure is.
Right, wow, episode 6. And this is the Halloween episode, not only because, you know, it is the movie Halloween, it is also coming up on that time of year.
It's October, baby.
Welcome in, Jeff.
Hey, Steven.
I'm your other, in case you haven't listened to the 5 other episodes, I'm your other host, Steven. So I just want to go ahead and just quickly jump in. Last week we did kind of a different show. We did movie drops, or I guess movies that were coming out the rest of October, mm-hmm. and then we also did movies that have been announced, and also trailers that have dropped recently.
Yeah, just it was kind a lot of fun.
Yeah, no, I enjoyed it too. We did a quick discussion on that. I think that's something we want to continue to do.
For sure.
So diving right into that, this week, not as many trailers or movie announcements, but we did have a couple of things happen. The first big one, I think, for any fans of Game of Thrones or HBO series, the House of the Dragon teaser trailer drops. So that is set, I think it's 300 years before the story of Game of Thrones. It's starring Matt Smith, I know, which we've talked about several times. Yeah. He's going to be a star on this show.
We got his name right this time.
We do have his name. It's the most basic name of all time, so that's why we keep forgetting it. What did you think seeing the trailer, Jeff?
It got me excited. It was really cool because I think one thing you said after we watched it was, well, it didn't give anything away.
Yeah.
Like, it didn't really show us anything. But that's what I want, you know. Give us some moody shots. Let us see that beautiful, crisp cinematography. And let's just wait for it to happen. Obviously, we'll get, like, a legitimate trailer at some point next year. But
right.
It's exciting.
So it said 2022. It did not give us a month or a day, obviously.
Right. I'm sure it'll be late 2022.
Yeah, I saw it, and I'm ready to be hurt again.
Yeah, so. After season 8.
Yeah, we could do a whole episode on that, but we're not. I'm excited for it. I think it'll be good. It's obviously it's lots of dragons, since that's what kind of the main ending point in the teaser trailers. He says, you know, there were not gods, kings. It's what made us gods were the dragons.
Right, and George R. R. Martin, instead of finishing his current series, he wrote a prequel essentially called Fire and Blood, which. The show, that's the events it's going to cover.
Right.
It's on that novel that came out a couple years ago, actually.
It did. So. It wasn't that long ago. I did see that when it came out. But yeah, so I'm excited. If you're a fan of Game of Thrones, you should be excited because it's going to have a lot of the same elements, obviously.
And I did see Miguel Sapochnik is back to direct.
Okay.
In this season, and he was most people's favorite from Game of Thrones. He did a lot of the big episodes like Hardhome. Things like that. So.
Okay. Awesome. The other big thing that happened this week, I think, is the full clip or scene from The Last Duel dropped. And despite Jeff's wishes, I made him watch it because this is one of his top 5 movies for the rest of the year coming out. It's the Matt Damon, Ben Affleck kind of coming together again party. The last sanctioned duel in France, I think it's 1386.
I believe that is correct, yeah.
Wow. Well, look at me.
Look at you.
But the full scene dropped. What did you think of the scene? What did you see in it that you liked? And I know when we were watching it together, you were like, oh, I'm in, like in the first shot. So literally. What did you see in it that you liked?
I just can't wait. It just got me even more hyped. Seeing the scene we got was kind of a lead up to what we think is going to be a, you know, big time battle that we're going to get in the movie. But just... everything about it. We've talked before about how I love these period pieces and these throwbacks and this medieval, you know, just give it to me. And
right.
It looks great. The shots are incredible. It's Ridley Scott, you know, he's an incredible director. You give him something, he's going to make it look great. So
he is incredible. It does look really good. It was a long drawn out. It was Matt Damon and Adam Driver characters, them getting ready for the duel that is the last duel sanctioned in that. And I mean, it looks, they kind of gave another trailer at the end of the scene as well, kind of hyping it up more.
Right, and just the scene we saw made it feel so grand. You know, you get this sweeping shots, just show the scope of it all, and all the people that are outside that can't see.
I said that like 3 times. The duel is set, I don't know how you describe that, in like a four-walled, like almost like brick walls, like walled-in area, I guess. I guess it's some kind of theater in the medieval ages. But they show like almost like a drone shot is what it's supposed to be kind of thing of all the people. And there's like 50,000 people and there's probably only like 1,000 that are on top of the walls. And I don't understand how the rest of them like
see. It's not like they have a fun zone outside the arena or like a big projector. They literally cannot
this
see.
This is 1386. They're just not seeing. They're just there for the party, I guess. I don't know. They're there for the drinks and listening.
They were trying to get a look at Matt Damon's hair.
Yeah. That's some hair right there.
That is a choice.
So I'm excited for this movie too. It's very dramatic. I think I pointed out last week that it's going to be one of those where the guy I don't want to die is going to die, or the guy I agree with in the argument is going to die. Mm-hmm. So I'm not excited for that, but I am excited to see the movie. It looks like it's going to be very interesting, very entertaining. And it's going to be one of those movies where it's an argument movie. So you're going to have some people on one side and some people on the other. And I don't think you're ever going to get the answer.
Right. And technically there are three perspectives in this, because we also have the Jodie Comer character.
Right. We have her perspective of what happened. We have Matt Damon, what he's trying to do. And then we have Adam Driver, what he's trying to do, kind of all coming together there. So yeah, I'm excited. I know Jeff got even more excited after seeing the scene.
I was ready to go see it right then.
It's the long drawn out shots that I think Jeff absolutely loves. The shot lasts and you're like, why are they still on this shot? Jeff is like, keep going.
And the way the camera moves, the scope of it all. I can't wait.
And then last but not least, not a trailer drop, not a movie drop, but it's a movie you saw and that you were excited for. We talked about it in our October movie drops. I believe it's pronounced Titan.
That is correct.
So we said Titan. Apparently, it's pronounced Titan.
It is a French movie. Yeah.
Okay, it's French. Is it French as in, it's subtitled?
Yeah, it's French language.
Oh, okay,
so
it's all French.
It was subtitled.
Okay, and why don't you just go ahead and give me your thoughts and feelings after you went and saw Titan?
Well, I already knew this going in because we talked about it, but it was incredibly bizarre in a fascinating way. And it wasn't as good as Ducarno's last film, Raw, which we also talked about, but it is extremely disturbing. It's the kind of movie you should not watch at all if you have a weak stomach, because there are some really shocking moments. It's told in an excitingly visceral way. You know, a lot of, like we were just talking about, a lot of impressive camera movement, keeping you on the edge of your seat. Just I cannot believe what I'm about to see next. So yeah, if you're not into that kind of thing, the harsh, borderline sadistic material, yeah, you should stay away from this one.
Jeff said he loved it. So
Love might be a little strong. I really liked it. The story's a bit jumbled and, it gets a little...
A scope into Jeff's mind is that the stuff that makes your stomach turn, Jeff's going to watch.
Most of the time.
Okay, and that wraps up our segment of kind of movie drops or trailers or movies that we've seen that we may not just do a whole episode on. So I want to go ahead and dive right into Spooktober. Spooktober is upon us, Jeff. I know last week we were on, I guess the episode dropped on October 1st, so we were just entering it. Now we are officially inside of Spooktober. So a lot of horror movies probably coming up. But with that being said, in October I wanted to tell the audience what our favorite horror movies are to rewatch every year. Similar to Christmas movies, you have Christmas movies that you probably watch every year. Jeff and I are sadistic, and we watch horror movies every year for October. So, Jeff, let me go ahead and get your number three, and then we'll go back and forth like that. Go number three, I'll go number three.
So I actually switched this up. This is not what I had before, because I've had 50 of these I could use, because there's so many I love. But this year, the ones I'm really excited to rewatch and have already rewatched some of these is number three, I'm going to go Nightmare on Elm Street.
Okay.
Wes Craven.
Yep.
Just a great 80s movie.
He's in that movie.
He sure is. Yeah.
People forget.
Such an incredible concept. Just you pitched that to me and I'm like, where do I watch this?
Yeah. You know? I mean, it is a great concept. I've seen it once. Probably around 10 years ago, so it's been a long time.
You should totally
time.
Rewatch it.
I need to.
A lot of people say, when they saw this in the 80s, they literally couldn't sleep, because the idea of sleep is this is when he gets you.
Right.
So just a cool concept, really well made. I love it.
Yeah, I think a lot of the 80s, 70s horror movies kind of started the new ideas, and now we're in the age of, obviously, it's more paranormal than anything else, I feel like, nowadays for what scares people. So really the 80s and 70s, when you get those original ideas that are so cool, such cool concepts, because they didn't happen before, but now we feel like it's over.
Right. And now we get
oversaturated with them,
sequels and reboots. And
right. Exactly. Which we will probably talk about a few here coming up when we talk about Halloween.
Yep.
So my number three, this is my hardest one. So my top two are locked in. Okay. My number three was my hardest one. I have a lot of options for you. And you can kind of tell me. Actually, I'll say this. My actual number three choice would be You're Next.
Okay.
I watched that movie. I rewatch it several times. It's a slasher film kind of thing going, but it's not so much of a horror in that the beginning of the movie, I guess, is a horror, but it's more of a story of, I guess, kind of heroism from the main actress in it, because she ends up, quote unquote, winning in the end.
I haven't seen this movie in a long time, so I don't really remember what happens.
So I won't spoil the whole thing, but it kind of, it has a vibe of there's people outside this home when they're doing a family reunion. They come in, start killing people. We have no idea why. We don't know what's going on. But somehow, for some reason, one of the dates that one of the family members brought that he's been dating for a long time, she's just a survivalist, and she knows how to deal with this situation happens. She knows what to do. So it's kind of how she survives this on the bare minimum. It's kind of like a MacGyver, or like, you know, sure, kind of somebody who takes the little things and makes stuff out of them, you know, and yeah, it's how she beats these trained assassins almost. And it's a very interesting concept for, you know, complete horror movie turned into like action, rooting for her to win somehow, and how is she going to get out of this kind of situation. Yeah. It's got a lot of intense, suspenseful scenes in it, and obviously it is kind of a slasher of they wear animal masks. So I'm going to count it as horror. It may not count completely as horror because it's not.
I think it does, because it is inspired by a lot of the slashers from the 80s,
right?
That we've briefly discussed here, and it. I remember really liking this movie when I saw it. It's directed by Adam Wingard, but yep, he has not made anything since near the quality of this at all. I feel like he's gone off the rails now.
Yeah.
But this was a great,
I love really this movie. Movie. I'll rewatch it. I've rewatched it several times. I rewatch it probably almost every October when I'm looking for like kind of a horror movie, but not, you know, to the point where I'm not going to be able to sleep at night kind of thing. So that's why that is my number three. What's your number two, Jeff?
Okay, so here I wanted to go with something like The Lighthouse or
that's not horror
or Hereditary.
Well, Hereditary is horror.
Those are too recent. I was going to go with Psycho, but I feel like, you know, we want to be a little more creative here. I feel like most people would say that just generically, just to sound like, you know, oh, I know what I'm talking about. Yeah. I know horror films.
Yeah. Well, you did go Nightmare on Elm Street for your first choice.
True. I mean, it's a, yeah.
All right, so what's your number two?
Number two, I'm torn because first I had Carrie.
Okay. Well, give me your actual pick, like what you finish with, and then at the end we will go our roundups.
Okay.
Well, you can include it in your like just missed the cut.
Yeah. You know what? Since I'm basing it on this year, I'm gonna go with The Conjuring.
Okay.
Number two.
Not a bad choice.
I kind of want to switch it up because, you know, Nightmare on Elm Street is this high concept slasher. The Conjuring is what you mentioned. It's supernatural, this paranormal entity that is, you know, haunting this family. It's just so well made. It's the last movie I can remember that really like kind of shook me when I watched it.
Right.
I was kind of like actually on the edge of my seat, really intense, like scared of what was coming next, what I was going to see. And, you know, you can't beat that. A lot of people when this came out were claiming that they were too scared to sit through it in theaters. That was the rumors. Like people were running out of the theater when this movie played.
Well, when this movie came out, it was kind of at the peak of the paranormal stuff. It was still at the beginning. It wasn't where we are now in the paranormal stuff, where we feel like we've seen it almost all. The Conjuring was kind of, it was still new enough at that time, I feel like, when it came out. Obviously we've had paranormal stuff in the past, you know. It's not like this is a new concept, but the way it's done and the way you feel like no matter what you're not safe is one of those things where that's where you still get scared. No matter if you've checked everywhere, you've looked, your house is locked, you're not going to get killed by a slasher, you live in a safe neighborhood, it doesn't matter. You're still
exactly
like, you still have that feeling of like, I've checked under the bed 1,000 times, but then I'm going to check this next time and there's going to be a dead body or a hand or something coming up to get me.
And this is a James Wan movie, and he's just so great with the camera, and he does an excellent job of building that suspense throughout that you just described. Like, what will I see next?
Yeah, it is a great suspense movie. The Conjuring, now remind me, because there's a lot of paranormal. That's the one with the clapping, right?
Yes.
Okay. That's a great
scene.
That
is an incredible scene. Incredible scene. I was gonna mention that, yes.
Incredible scene. So my number two, like I said, these are locks. I watch these I've rewatched these a bunch of times. Mm-hmm. A little bit similar to your next almost, The Strangers.
Oh, I love that movie.
It's a great movie.
Excellent choice.
It was, you know, I'm going to point this out when we talk about Halloween. It's almost more scary when you don't hear things, you don't know what's going on. It's like you don't know their intentions. You don't hear their voice. You don't see their face. Right. Like it's more scary almost because your imagination almost builds it up more than the actual reality of it.
Right.
And just the them just seeing them, like they're not even doing anything to them for, I don't know, 90% of the movie, nothing's happening to them.
It's the psychological
warfare. But yeah, it's the just seeing them out in the woods. And so every time, I remember watching this movie, and the first time I saw it, we lived in a house that had a rec room, and one side of the rec room was just glass, pretty much. I mean, it was glass doors, and it had two windows. I could not sit in there at night because we had woods near our house right there. And I always thought for one time I was going to turn and see that glass door and see one of those masked people. Like I'm telling you, Jeff, it took me so long to be able to be like, okay, it's okay. I can sit in here when it's dark outside.
I feel that, yeah.
So, like, that was why it's one of my favorites, is because it always felt like when you look out a dark window or something, you're just going to see one of those masks.
Yeah, especially if you, like, are from a small town or live in the middle of nowhere. I cannot imagine.
It's the cabins or the in the middle of nowhere that really gets you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this movie is excellent. It was directed by Brian Bertino, who also did the sequel. Did you see the sequel, The Strangers Pray at Night?
I think I did see the sequel, but it was nowhere near as good as
It's not
that.
As good, but I think it's underrated. It had really bad reviews, yeah. But I really enjoyed
it. I'm pretty sure I saw it, but I really liked the original. Just, I guess more, it's probably more of the fact that it's like, it's so hard to, when you have such a good concept for the first time, it's so hard to build off of it and make a equally as good movie, you know?
Yeah.
Because it's new. It's new the first time you see it.
Yeah.
Right. What's your number one, Jeff?
So I will preface this by saying my number one would be Halloween.
Okay.
But
since
clearly,
we're doing it.
I mean, I watch it multiple times a year, but we're doing it, so I excluded that from the list. So I'm going to go with my other lock that I'll rewatch every year, and that's The Shining. Stanley Kubrick, one of my favorite directors. We could go on and on and on about this movie. I don't think you're that big of a fan of it, if I'm not mistaken.
So I've seen it once. Mm-hmm. I have not rewatched it or anything like that. I've told you this before with The Shining. I appreciate it for what it is. So I appreciate that a lot of the stuff was new, the way they did it, the psychological horror nature of it, the loneliness, the locked in somewhere, the mm-hmm. not being able to escape anywhere kind of feeling.
Right.
And like some of the slow moving shots, the slow push-ins, the
tracking shots in the hallway.
Yeah, the tracking shots,
Danny.
The general nature of the really wide angle views you get a lot throughout mm-hmm. the movie. Appreciate all of it, right? Get it. It is just a very slow movie. And that's probably why you love it. Yeah, as I say, it's a slow burning movie. Yeah. And that's probably why you love it so much. It's just, to me, not a lot of action happens in it.
Yeah.
You get iconic scenes. You have the blood spilling out in the hallways. You have the girls
the twins,
on
the twin girls.
The twin girls. You have the all work and no play makes Johnny a dull boy.
Right,
like you have all of those things. It just is so like, and it's part of it too. Is probably if you saw this movie, what year did it come out?
1980.
If you saw this movie in 1980, probably terrified.
Mm-hmm.
I watched this movie, I don't know, 5 years ago, and I was like, well, this is lame.
I think it's incredibly well-paced. I love the ambiguous ending. I love the long aerial shots we get leading up, just building the suspense before he actually gets to the hotel. Everything about it, I think, is genius. Obviously, it's Kubrick. You don't really need to explain that. He's one of the greatest ever. This is my favorite movie from the 80s and one of my favorites of all time.
Favorite
movie?
So Back to the Future.
But I like The Shining more.
Empire.
Yes. The Shining barely edges out Empire.
Jeff.
Yeah, Steven.
Oh, I didn't know it was your favorite movie of the 80s. That
yes.
is, that's
my
a take.
One.
That's
great.
A take quick right
it's
there.
Great. I stand by it.
All right, so my last pick.
Tell me your number one.
My number one pick. So it's not even necessarily an original, actually. It's the third of the franchise. But to me, it's the best one.
Okay.
Paranormal Activity 3.
Okay, now that's a choice.
I get it. So I get it because Paranormal Activity, when it first came out, was like the first time. It was such a low budget film, mm-hmm. and it was the first. It was literally in the director's house is when they filmed Paranormal Activity 1, mm-hmm. and it was just the first person view for most of it. The person holding the camera. It was from the night lens of the camera. And
right.
I don't know if you've rewatched this movie at all. I
haven't seen it lately.
So I saw it, you know, when it came out. I was petrified. It goes along with the Conjuring of like you're never safe,
yes.
no matter what. You know, stuff you can't see is going to get you.
Yep.
And like not a lot happens in the first one, honestly. It's just like literally it'll go from night one or whatever, and then like the cover moves, and then nothing happens throughout the day, and then night two, and then like the door
right.
creaks open and the cover moves. And so it's like not a lot, but it's just that it's a really suspense building kind of thing, mm-hmm. because you don't know what's going to happen.
And it's again what happens when we sleep,
right?
When we're
right.
when we're at our most vulnerable state.
Correct. And then you have Paranormal Activity 2 kind of goes a little bit prequel to the first one.
Mm-hmm. I vaguely remember.
Or no, it's
the
just
one.
A family. It's part of their family, just in a different house, basically, is how Paranormal Activity 2 goes.
Yeah.
The reason I love 3 is it gives you, it's a complete prequel of the two main girls in 1 and 2, of them as children.
Right.
And the reason why this one is so, so good is not even, it like the to me anyways, is not necessarily the fact that it's the girls as they're little, and you get that child, you know, kind of horror with like Children in horror movies just for some reason make creepy. It so much more creepy.
Like the twin girls in The Shining.
Exactly. Yeah. And so there's lots of scenes where you kind of see this. It's like a demon is her imaginary friend. And then it's the final scenes, I guess, or scene when the father of the two girls is trying to save them from their grandmother's house, and he gets trapped in the house. I'm getting like chill bumps just talking about it.
I see that.
Like it's
which you can see his arms right now.
It's crazy. And he just gets trapped in it, and it's oh my, you talk about the suspense. Like that is one of those scenes where I still to this day have to watch like in between fingers. Like I don't even want to watch it full on. It's that to me, it was that suspenseful watching it in the moment. And that's why it's like one of my favorite horror movies of all time, just because I still get chills just thinking about the scariness of it almost.
Yeah. And a lot of people are sick of the found footage subgenre, but this is how it's done right. I actually remember I don't fully remember this movie. I do remember when I watched it, me and my friends really enjoyed it. And I said it was my favorite of the three, but those are the only three I've seen. I haven't watched any of the other ones.
I've watched most of the Paranormal Activities. That was the reason that I loved it so much is that was like right before The Conjuring. And I loved that found footage style. For some reason, it just creeps me out so much more because it feels like you are there almost, you know? Similar to Blair Witch Project and stuff like that. This was similar to Blair Witch Project, and it was like similar to The Conjuring as well, but it's like The Conjuring where it's not found footage, this is all found footage. It's all the whole movie. And so that's why it was just so much more scary to me of him running through that house feeling like he's holding the camera and you are actually running through that house, and through your brain you're like, what would I do? Exactly. How would I get out of this? I might just kill myself in this situation. Like, how do I get out of this? So that whole fear factor of it is what really draws me to that one. Obviously it's not an original idea, but it's just, that's to me, and I've seen the rest after, I've seen I think all of them after that, they're not as good. Yeah. And there's another movie I think two later that they go back to that house and still that scene creeps me out. Like, yeah. But it's not as good as the third one. It's just not. So, and it's, I think it's 90s based too, so it's, you get that 90s kind of nostalgia from the whole movie too. Right. So good, really
pick.
Great movie.
Pretty bold to have it at number one, but good pick. I like
it. It is bold, but it's the scariest. That's why I have it at number one.
Okay.
I probably, like, there's other movies that are better, definitely, but it's probably when I saw it is a lot of this thing, is that you get the same feeling of when you first saw it, when you watch it again.
Yeah.
Still freaks me out. Still creeps, like, I watch that movie and I'm still creeped out.
I'll rewatch it for you this October.
It is a legit scary movie. Now, I haven't seen it in like a couple of years because my wife refuses to watch horror movie with me, and that's one of those horror movies where I don't want to watch by myself.
Yeah.
So it's like, do I want to not sleep tonight or not, kind of thing. And it's, I should be able to because I've seen it before, but it still gets me. That's why it's number one. So
fair enough.
So what just missed your cut?
Well, all right, Carrie by Brian De Palma. The prom scene is probably the most iconic from that, or the shot of her hand coming from the grave. It's just an incredible movie. Blair Witch Project, my favorite, probably, of the found footage subgenre, even though it kicked it off. And a lot of people back when it came out were convinced that was real because that was the whole marketing campaign. People really believed what they were seeing was real.
It looks real.
It sure does. I mentioned Psycho. See, I don't consider like Rear Window horror. That's more of a thriller, or that could have made it, because I do like Alfred Hitchcock. But what about you? What's on your honorable mentions?
Hush. If you've ever seen Hush.
I have seen Hush. Yeah. Mike Flanagan.
Yep. Really good movie.
Yeah.
Good concept. It's a deaf and blind girl. Similar to Strangers in that aspect, but she's happens to be deaf and blind. Or not deaf and mute. Sorry. Not deaf and blind.
Yeah,
she can see.
And that's kind of cool. I'm pretty sure I could fact check this one. I'm pretty sure it's Mike Flanagan's wife.
Really?
Playing the main character.
Is she actually in real life?
Yeah.
Oh, really?
And she wrote the screenplay with him for that movie. Oh. And she's also in Hill House as well.
Yes, she is. You're right. But that's... Oh,
One thing I forgot to mention. I'm sorry. My honorable mentions is Black Christmas. Now, this is the most messed up on my list. It was in... I believe it came out in 1976. And it's Bob Clark who directed A Christmas Story. But he also did Black Christmas. And man, it's like one of the first original slasher movies. It even predates Halloween.
Yeah.
And it is insane. It is really violent.
My other two can be debated if they're horror or not.
Mm-hmm.
One of my favorite movies just of all time. I don't know if it would be top five. I don't think it would be top five, but it's a really good movie. Silence of the Lambs.
Great choice. Yeah.
I don't know if that's horror or just thriller, or
I consider
like
more thriller, but
dramatic thriller kind of thing. That's what I consider too. Your Next, you can go with just kind of action thriller as well.
Could.
But Silence of the Lambs just missed the cut. Love that movie. It's a great, like, Anthony Hopkins in that is just like, man.
Yeah. He's so good. Jodie Foster.
Yes. That's, I mean, it's great pairing. The other one, again, this is not horror at all, but I just like watching it. It's dumb when it came out. I just thought it was good. Again, this was probably 15 years ago. Predators versus Aliens. Loved it when it came out.
Okay.
Again, this is a dumb movie, but yeah. It's not really horror, but it's kind of in that horror genre with Predator and Alien trying to be horror, I guess, but not really.
Yeah.
I don't know what you call those. Action, I guess,
yeah, more action than anything thriller, else. I guess. I don't
know. Yeah, it's not really it's horror, but yeah, it's, you know.
Whatever. Well, we'll count it.
Sinister.
Oh, okay. I like that movie a lot.
I really like Sinister, and that's kind of... I haven't seen the first one in a really long time. I saw the second one when it came out in theaters, and I really liked. There's a whole scene of one of the kids trying to kill the adults, and he's like, and that's kind of found footage too with that. And he's like chasing them down with the one of those old timey cameras called the. There's a whole movie literally named
VHS. The,
no,
wait,
it's
wait.
Like old.
I don't know.
It's a Super 8. It is. A Super 8.
Yeah, Super 8.
Yes. I'm just stupid. Sorry.
Yes, you are.
Any others that we left off?
I mean, I could go on for days, but I'm good with wrapping up.
Okay,
today.
I'm good with wrapping up as well. So those are our favorite horror movies to rewatch in October. So let's go ahead and move on to our review. The real reason we're doing this episode, Halloween, the 1978 Halloween. The Jeff's top five of all time movie, Halloween.
Hey.
The Michael Myers first version of it,
because yes.
Obviously there's like 15
the
of them
OG
now.
Michael Myers.
I think there's literally 12. I think I looked it up yesterday, and there's 12.
Yeah, I knew it was double digits.
It's a lot. So Jeff, I'm gonna actually start off with you. We're gonna do a little bit different. We're not gonna go line by. We're not gonna go like note by note.
Just, right, we'll be here all day.
Yeah, kill everybody with this. I want to start off though with why you love this movie so much. Why this is your top five? Like why you could rewatch this 1,000 times.
For me, I just love this movie so much. I guess it's the atmosphere that the film evokes, really. It truly feels like Halloween when you're watching this, and everything about it is just so perfect in that respect. The cinematography is great. The characters are, in my opinion, super likable for the most part, and it has one of the most iconic scores ever, which John Carpenter did himself. That was like one of his rules when he said, when he agreed to direct it, as long as he got to score it, because he was in a band, and he knew what he could do, and he knocked it out of the park with this. And the movie, it just like bleeds fall, you know, it screams October, everything about it. It's insanely rewatchable. It's only 90 minutes. And it's just cool that Carpenter went from a nobody to this sought out director because he made such an extremely profitable film here. And it's like a beautiful time capsule of suburban America in the late 1970s. And you know, you mentioned it earlier. It's like the potential of evil always lurking underneath. It's just something indescribable about the way the movie makes me feel, you know, and that's why I watch it every single year at least once. It's just great.
Yeah, so I love this movie too. I think we're going to love it, and we'll get into that for very different reasons. but this was one of those first kind of slasher movies I ever watched. I think I watched H2O first.
And are you then serious?
I think I watched H2O first.
Why did
and
you
then
do
watched
that?
This. I didn't mean to. I was like 9, and it wasn't trying to. I wasn't like, let me watch the H2O first. I guess it was after H2O came out, but.
I can see 9-year-old Steven getting hyped when Busta Rhymes kicks Michael Myers.
I was probably like 10 or 11 when I first watched it. And then I watched Halloween much later and different versions of Halloween throughout. But I love this movie too. I think that one of the great things about it is it's suspenseful the whole time.
Mm-hmm.
And every time I think, and not you just talked about the score is so great because they cut in with that music. I don't know. I couldn't count 50 times in the movie or something
exactly.
Like that. Yes. And I love the music because it's always, you get that, you know, the dun, dun, dun,
dun. I mean, from the opening title card, when you
literally.
Get the, you get the pumpkin in the corner,
yeah.
The Halloween
literally.
Superimposes
you
on the
You get the
screen.
Found footage at the beginning of this movie, too.
Oh, dude. Well, I'll save that for later. Keep
okay.
going.
But great movie, great start to a lot of things. It really gave you that suspense. It gave you the lurking around every corner. It gave you the boogeyman kind of thing. Like, he is the boogeyman.
Mm-hmm. We hear that quite a few times.
They did. Timing was excellent with the score. Why don't you go ahead? And so what we're going to do this time is we're going to give our favorite scene,
mm-hmm.
our favorite shot, or our favorite line, or both. And then we're going to kind of go off why we love it. I think Jeff already said, I love it for its cheesiness. the slasher film cheesy deaths. I live for the slasher film cheesy deaths. Like the late 70s, early 80s death scenes in these horror movies are just chef's kiss.
You watch your mouth, Steven. This is cinema. Okay.
Gorgeous. Like the shot of young Michael killing his sister, where she just you can't see the knife at all, and she just kind of.
Well, honestly, that's another thing I love about this movie: the practical effects. You know, they didn't have CGI. This is, they have. I think the budget for this movie was $300,000.
Yeah, I mean,
so they're making it for next to nothing.
But it was it's so good when somebody dies. It is hilarious, and then the going off of that, I can't even remember her name. It was the one who's her boyfriend's name is Bob.
Linda.
Totally. Her death, is she having sex or is she dying? I can't figure it out.
Totally.
The whole time she's dying. And I'm like, are you asking if she's okay? Or are you asking
it's over
if
the phone. Yes. When she's being strangled by Michael Myers. Yes,
she's talking to Lori. Shout out Lori. Mm-hmm. She's talking to Lori on the phone. And I'm like,
right, and Lori thinks it's Annie, and she's like, first, yes. I get your famous chewing.
Yes. It was, what a death. But that's why I love these movies, is I can watch them, and I can have that suspense with Michael lurking around every corner, but I can also laugh a little bit with the deaths. And so I'm not, terrified the whole movie, but I can appreciate the horror nature of it and everything like that. And that goes along with, one of the reasons I love it, too, is it goes along with my Stranger's take of, It almost, you fear much more because they don't even show his mask for, I don't know, the first half of it. You just see him lurking. And so it almost gives you that more fear of what does he look like? What is he wearing? What's going on? And then obviously he never speaks throughout the whole movie. And, you hear from his psychiatrist, he hasn't spoke for the last 15 years.
Right.
It's much more scary when he doesn't talk.
Exactly. he's not human, he's in a way.
As you can see, after he got stabbed and shot, poked in the eye, he got shot, I don't know, 10 times. Right. He's like, oh, let me get up.
And here we are almost 50 years later, and he's still going.
How many times is actress going to kill her? Jamie Lee Curtis. How many times is she going to kill
her? I hope she is successful this time, but we'll see.
Well, she's not, because there's another movie coming out in 22. So. But she's killed him, I don't know, 5 times?
Yeah, you keep doing great work, Jamie Lee. Keep it going.
Okay, let me get... That was my kind of reason I love it. Let me get your favorite scene in this movie, Jeff.
My favorite scene, and it's not even close, it is the opening scene. Okay, we come out of the title card with the pumpkin I mentioned and the great score, and then we get the first person perspective of Michael, and we're not really sure what's going on. Quickly we see that we're a voyeur in a way through the lens of somebody, maybe a kid, because we are low to the ground. And then we get these shots to the window, and you see his sister, and she's with her boyfriend, and then they sneak upstairs, and you just get this first-person perspective as you go up, and it's just great. You get the shaky, camera work, and it just feels so real and visceral, and he gets up there, and you hated the kill, but like I said, I love the kill there when he sees his sister combing her hair, and then he just attacks, and you're like, wow, okay.
Speaking of that, first of all, why are the girls just, naked in this film? they're just... Why was she naked?
The 70s.
She was combing her hair just naked.
You can't comb your hair with your shirt on, Steven.
Thought that was funny.
It's impossible.
But that was my favorite scene, too, because I love the found footage as I just went on. So let me think of another one real quick. I love, actually, I will say, the scene of Annie walking around everywhere and Michael feel like he being around every corner. When she goes out of the laundry room, she gets trapped in the window. She's in the kitchen just changing, and Michael breaks a plant.
Mm-hmm.
Plant pot. I was going to say a plot.
A plot.
That kind of suspense of you're on edge that whole time you're watching Annie there. That will be my favorite scene, just because it creates that suspense of when is he going to kill her? And I know I mentioned to you, I watched this with my wife, Lori, and she's the whole time, she hates the suspense and thrills. The whole time she's like, just kill her already. Just get it over with. Just kill her. So that whole nature of it, I loved that scene just because it's a guessing game there. And so even me thinking the deaths are hilarious, watching them, I'm even kind of on edge a little bit there, just being like, when's it gonna happen?
I do like that it's intercut as well with the house that Lori's at with Tommy, as he's looking out the window and he's like, I see the boogeyman, and nobody believes him. So
So let me get your favorite. You have a favorite line. I didn't write down a favorite line, but what would be your favorite line?
I have two favorite lines for different reasons. My first one is when Donald Pleasance's character, the psychiatrist, says, "Death has come to your little town, Sheriff." it's a good one-liner there. And also really like when Jamie Lee Curtis is in there talking to Tommy, and she's like, "Laser Man, Neutron Man." I can understand why. Tarantula Man. She's just appalled at all these comics he has. And it makes me, it's how I feel about like superhero movies sometimes. Like, wait, what? Really?
That's fair.
Ant-Man, really?
That's fair. I think the psychiatrist has a lot of great lines. Like when he's just like, she's like, "I thought he was the boogeyman." "He is." Like, he's so dramatic.
In fact, it was.
Yes. Everything he says is so dramatic. And
he smiles like one time in this movie, and it's when he tricks the kids at the Myers house.
And then he gets scared by the cop right behind him. So there's some great lines in it. I didn't write down one because if I would have wrote down one, it would have been appalling to you because I would have just made fun of it the whole time.
Thank you for not doing that.
You're welcome. You're welcome. So my favorite, I'll go on to my favorite shot and then we'll get your favorite shot. Okay. I have a few, but I will give you my favorite one. It's got to be, and this is such an iconic shot, but it's got to be the shot where Jamie Lee Curtis finds the bodies of everybody, and then she goes and she just can't get out, and then she kind of collapses against a wall, and all you see is a dark doorway, and there is just a light that where you just see his mask right behind her, and you get the music. That is like movie magic right there.
That was one of mine.
Yeah, it's a great, it's a fantastic shot when you watch it. So you could just screenshot that shot and use that for every Halloween poster ever.
Yeah.
So that's why that's my favorite. So what's your favorite? And then we'll go on the Just Missed the Cut.
That was one of the ones I had written down as well. You could go with Lori leaning over the couch with Michael Myers' knife. She's looking down at him thinking he's dead. This is after she stabs him in, like, I guess like a sewing needle, maybe?
Yes. Well, also, what does she not? I guess she's never seen Zombieland. Double tap, girl. Double tap. Go ahead.
Yeah, a little anachronistic there. Of course, she had not seen that. also... Well, that one you already mentioned. The shot in the laundry room where we behind, I believe it is Annie.
Mm-hmm.
And through, you can, if you look closely, you can barely see Michael's face to the door behind her as he's just watching.
Yep.
That's a great one.
There's so many great shots of him just behind people almost, like where they don't see him.
Another one I have is when at the very end, right before the psychiatrist shows up and Lori believes she has killed him, she, like a dummy, throws the knife down. And walks and just like crouches down, and then in the back we see Michael Myers just lean up,
double tap, It's or so easy.
Keep the knife,
yes,
maybe. And why do you? Why does she have to send the kids?
I don't know.
With them.
Yes, Lori, my wife, was literally singing like, "What an idiot! Why don't you drop the knife?
What are you doing?"
Yeah. So my the couple that missed the cut for me was the shadow of Michael Myers, while Bob and Linda are getting it on, you just see his shadow pass by them. Mm-hmm. It's when they're in the bedroom upstairs, Bob and Linda are, and then you see just the shadow of Michael Myers kind of go past them on the bed.
Yeah.
That was epic.
That was really good. And then later you see him in a sheet.
Yes. Which is so weird.
Which his kill, Bob, was probably the best.
Yes. So that was my next favorite shot, was when he's got Bob pinned against the wall with the knife. And he's just sitting there admiring the dead body. Like, he's just kind of like a puppy sees something, you know, they don't really know. He just kind of turns his head side to side. That was my other favorite shot of when it's like a wide view of that. It gives you that super creepy factor for Michael Myers. So that will do it for the shots. Jeff, we got why your top five. My last question for you is Michael Myers your favorite villain or your favorite slasher of all time?
And he is by far my favorite slasher. So without even question, he's any of the other ones, Jason, Freddy Krueger, they don't compare. He's the best. He also predates both of them. He was an inspiration and influence on so many, even to this day. And he's still going strong. Movie comes out next week.
Right. So he is still going strong. He's got to be my favorite slasher. I don't know if he's my favorite villain.
He's top five for me. I don't know if my favorite.
He's a great villain. He's probably my top five too. It's just that
he's competing with Heath Ledger's Joker.
Yeah, as I say, there's so many villains that have such a great backstory or such great reasoning behind, and you obviously never get his reasoning. It's just that he's a psychopath. He's the boogeyman.
In
it's
a
just,
way, that's what I love about him.
He
it,
is
though.
Evil. I know. This is that's what
he's
makes
evil
him,
personified.
That's
yeah.
what makes him great. But that's what I mean is you have so many other villains that have that great backstory, that great reasoning behind what they're
where
doing.
You can empathize with them.
You yeah. can empathize, and that's what makes a really, really good villain to me. So, not my favorite villain, but definitely my favorite slasher.
For sure.
The death scenes, man, is all about the death scenes.
Or when I like when Andy got stuck in the window. How?
I don't. How'd she get stuck in the window? And then, like, why didn't he just kill her then?
No idea.
I don't know either.
Maybe because Lindsay, the little girl, was out there.
I guess, but it's not like I feel like he. I mean, he killed a dog. Like, what? He's evil personified. What does he care about a kid?
That is a great point. What am I saying? Duh.
Yeah. I don't know. Has he ever killed a kid in one of these movies?
I don't know.
I don't think he has.
Yeah, I think they know that's pushing it too far.
Yeah. My last point on this movie was that I kept remembering, I haven't seen this movie in like 10 years, mm-hmm. but like 2 years ago, I saw the Rob Zombie Halloween 2007. I'm like, this seems so familiar. Is it because like, I feel like they've remade this movie. Which one is it? It is a Halloween 2007. Yeah. If you haven't watched that, that's a movie.
Yeah.
It's a movie. So you get some glimpses into what Michael Myers would look like. Institutionalized for a while and breaking out of prison.
Yeah.
With the long hair. He does have long hair like he did at the beginning of this movie.
Yeah.
So
the
it's
long hair.
He does kind of creep in the house and it's a.
So is the moral of this film to stay away from people with long hair?
Maybe. Stay away from the creepy house on the block. Don't go near it. Keep your dog safe too. He killed two dogs in this movie. We didn't talk about that.
We gotta stop with the animal
yeah,
violence.
I know that's what I meant to say, Jeff. Rip Lester, first of all.
Yeah.
Lester the German. Rip him. Rip the whatever dog he was eating.
He was just trying to protect him.
I know. Rip whatever dog he was killing. He was eating too. So that sad can't be times. Your top five movie if it has animal violence. I'm not allowed.
Have to, yeah.
So that will wrap up our Halloween review.
Can I give you some fun facts real quick?
You can give me some fun facts.
This movie was initially titled The Babysitter Murders before John Carpenter came on board and changed the script and wrote it himself. With
I mean,
his...
it was Babysitter Murders.
Yeah, I mean, technically, that's what happened. I mean, but also for budgetary reasons, the event, the movie was initially going to take place over the course of a few days, and John Carpenter was like, "Well, Halloween, scariest night of the year, let's just do it on one night." You
brilliant.
Know? So I think that worked very great. He wrote the screenplay with his girlfriend at the time, Deborah Hill, and I believe they were both in their 20s when they wrote this. I would have to fact check that, but I thought that was really cool. This was actually shot in the spring in California. And they had to get a bunch of fake leaves and things and just constantly keep them on the street. And they had to shoot around palm trees and things like that.
Why wouldn't they just shoot in the fall?
You know, there is a backstory to that. I don't remember all the specifics, but
seems like a
pain. I believe they just wanted to, they wanted to have the movie out in time for Halloween.
Gotcha.
Because I believe this
okay.
was filmed in early 1978.
And then they just released it later.
Yeah.
Okay.
Also,
sense.
John Carpenter hired Jamie Lee Curtis as a tribute to Alfred Hitchcock because Jamie Lee Curtis is the daughter of Janet Lee, who... was made famous in Psycho. So
okay.
I thought that was really cool.
I didn't
cool.
know that. So that's a really good trivia fact. Did not know that.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. It was shot over the course of 20 days. This was in the spring in 1978. Deborah Hill, John Carpenter's girlfriend, wrote most of the dialogue for the female characters while John Carpenter concentrated on Dr. Loomis's speeches. It's pretty cool. And the last one I'll say is all of the actors chose their own clothes because, again, budgetary reasons, didn't really have any money. So Jamie Lee Curtis went to a JCPenney to pick out Laurie Strode's wardrobe. So I thought that was pretty sick.
They all look like they're in 1978, so it works
it
perfectly.
It totally works.
Have you seen the trailer? Did you watch the trailer I sent to you?
I did not.
If you haven't seen Steven. The trailer, you need to watch the trailer.
Okay.
Because it's just half the trailer is just a voiceover going, Halloween night. It says it like 16 times.
I'm definitely checking
Halloween
out.
Halloween night.
Also, John Carpenter composed the score for this in 4 days. Pretty awesome.
That is cool.
Maybe one of the most iconic scores.
That
ever.
Is. It's like this and Jaws to me are like the two
yeah.
horror ones that really point. Yeah.
John
like
Williams
out.
Has all the others.
Right, right. Yeah. But I'm just saying, like, you just think, like, Jaws, everybody knows the Jaws,
right.
You know. Da, 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 and
epic.
Then I'm not even going to try the Michael Myers again because I butchered it the first time. But that one, you hear that, Michael Myers. You think Halloween, Michael Myers.
Exactly.
Well, that will wrap up the Halloween review. Great movie.
Mm-hmm.
I had forgotten how much I liked it.
Are and you going to give it a score?
We do need to give it a score.
Mm-hmm.
This is going to be hard to score. It's going to be really high for you. I know.
I'm going to give it a 100.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
This is 100.
Yes.
Okay, so all your top five movies get 100?
Yeah. Duh.
Okay, that's fair. I'll probably give it a 90.
Okay. That's an A.
It is an A. I think it's a really, really good horror movie. Obviously, it was original Halloween, so it gets extra points for that. There's other Halloween, like H2O might be way higher. Like, just for
ridiculous.
Just for the ridiculousness of it, though.
It's absurd.
It's like, just for the, it's so bad, it's good. I can't help it. But
you do you, Steven.
It's a really good movie. The way it's done is really, really well done. And it gives you fear, you know, of the outdoors, of who's lurking behind a bush or a tree, or, you know, Halloween night, who's in a mask that is actually a killer.
Yeah, so, sure.
But I thought it was good. I enjoyed rewatching it. So going off of what we enjoyed watching, what are your recommendations to watch for this coming week?
I'm going to have to stick with horror. We're in October. I'm going to go with a horror movie that was, I mean, it's pretty well known. A lot of people have probably seen it, but I feel like it's underrated. And I've talked about it on the show, I believe, but I'm going to go with The Visit by M. Night Shyamalan.
I can't. It's the one scene. I'm not going to mention it.
I know.
Can't get over that.
This movie is underrated. It takes... it's a found footage movie as well, actually.
It is.
And there are some cringe elements in it, like the kid rapper, things like that. But I really like the female character, and she wants to be a filmmaker. It's obviously M. Night Shyamalan channeling some of himself and putting it in that character. But
right.
The twist, his patented twist that he does at the end.
The twist was good. I will admit, the twist at the end
was good. I didn't see that one coming. It's really good. It's like a nice critique of social media in an interesting way, and... it's so effective. There's some great jump scares in it.
There is some great jump scares.
That grandma, man. Shout out to the grandma.
Dude, it's just the freaking scene.
Oh, I know what you're talking about.
I can't get over it. I guess if you like Teton and Raw, you're all about it. You're like, yes, bring it on more.
Yeah, it's pretty messed up.
It's so messed up. So I'm not going to go a horror movie. I'm going to go a show that's actually been, I think this is its second or third week that it's out in a row now. It's the season two, actually. The Morning Show. If you've never seen season one, go back and watch season one. It's all on Apple TV. Really good drama with Jennifer Aniston, Steve Carell, and Reese Witherspoon.
Yeah.
So it's a really good drama. Really telling. I'd forgotten how much I enjoyed the first season when we went back and rewatched. Sorry, somebody's texting me, and that's just going to be loud throughout the podcast. So there you go. You're welcome for that, people.
Mute your computer, Steven.
Yeah, I did. But it's a really good show. I'd forgotten how much I liked it. And we watched season two, episode one, and I was like, this is really good. So it keeps you coming back for more. You want to keep watching the episodes as they come out. So that is my recommendation for the week. And that wraps up our opening of Spooktober week, Jeff. Best time of the year. I know your messed up mind loves it. So next week, what we're going to do is we're going to do one that just missed my cut for top three. We're going to do Silence of the Lambs. I know I haven't seen it in a while. Jeff hasn't seen it in a while.
Yeah, probably 5 years or so.
But great, great movie. If you haven't seen it, go out and watch it so you can follow along and listen to our review on Slow Burn. See you next week.